Okay. Gideon? What? Oh, there aren't enough?
One more.
I thought I made enough.
Why now?
Okay, we got up to the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Boy Rabbi Zeira. Boy Rabbi Zeira. We have the Dalet of the Ein Mishpat. Boy Rabbi Zeira. Misgalgel Mahu. Hechi Dami, Gon Shikaima Onir Rishus Hayachid. Beko Misgalgel Vamasi Mirishus Hayachid Lirishus Harabim Mai. What over here is the issue? So here we have a Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi understands, Kayama Amir Virshus Hanizak, Ubehema Virshus Harabim, Umigalgelis, that the Behema is Megalgel, the Amir, Vaasi Mirishus Hayachid, Lirishus Harabim. What is the question? Mai, Basar Achila Azlinan Upetura, O Basar Deshakale Azlinan, the chayevet. And then Rashi points out that it's reversible. The amir b'shus harabim v'gilgalasa b'shus harabim l'shus hayachid ibasar achila azlinan chayevet ibasar deshakle azlinan petura. Again, had we've been asking, what should this depend upon? Whether we go after the makom halakicha or go after the makom ha'achila, what does this raise in your minds? What chakira that we have discussed ad nauseum? Yes?
Tvira tavar? Sounds
similar. We'll come to that. No, even in other words, in terms of the chiyuv of Rishus Hayachid and the Ptur of Rishus Harabim.
That which the riff in the rush.
Okay. If we say that we're dealing with the svara, that in Rishus Harabim, that's where animals have the right to be, and therefore their owners are not responsible for them. Hashem came Rishus HaNizak, the animal shouldn't be there. L'chora, do you go after the lakita or after the achila? Go after the lakita. You go after the lakicha. L'chora, that would be obvious. If it's Xeras HaKasav, so then, we don't know. Then it's an open question. But I mean, b'chora, in other words, if you hold that we're dealing over here with the svara, so one side should l'chora certainly take precedence. The question is certainly a meaningful question. However, Tosfos is upset at Rashi not because of the question, but rather, pirush akuntus masafki basar akila azlinan or basar lekicha, but the problem is that it's a black and white gemara. That the Gemara talks about this on the Kaf Aleph Amid Beis, that we have a Mishnah, Kelev Shanatal Charara V'Holach V'Gadish, D'Pshitalon D'Achle V'Gadish D'Alma D'Patur. In other words, that the Gemara sets up the Mishnah as that the Kelev went to the Gadish of the owner of the charara, because we need ubir b'steyacher. So l'chora we see black and white from that gemara. That what do we go after, the lakicha or the achila? Clearly we go after the achila. And I sent you over there to a Tosos on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, who wants to be mitzamsem and even more, and he points out, Shma Mina, three lines from the bottom of the Amr, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Shma Mina, Deboy Lekicha V'Achila B'Chatzer HaNizak. That we may need both, because that's the Mishnah is dealing with the Kelev that took the Charara from the Chatzer of the Nizak, and then he ate it in the Chatzer of the Nizak. So maybe you need both, but why in the world should we have over here a question if the Gemara later on is Machriya clearly in one direction? So, L'chora, what direction would you go to explain Rashi. How would Rashi, Lechora, distinguish between our sugya and the sugya over there a little later on in the perek, where we have a Mishnah and we have a Gemara that explains the Mishnah? Again, let's look together on Daf Kaf Aleph from Adays. We have over there the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah. Kelev shenatol charora v'holach legodish ochal hacharora dat meshalim nezek shalem. So the Gemara on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph points out on the bottom, in other words, that Ilema, 3 lines on the bottom on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Ilema da ochal begodish da alma ha be'inan ubir b'steyacher v'leka lo tzricha de achla begodish de ba'al charara. Namely, the fact that it was taken from the godish, the alma, that's not, that the fact that it was taken from the godish, I'm sorry, of the ba'al charara, that the Gemara assumes is not enough to be mechayev you. That you need ubir b'steyacher, you need the achila in the sada of the ba'al charara, maybe also the lechicha, but certainly the achila. Lo tzricha de achla begodish de ba'al charara. So how can we over here have a question if the Gemara takes for granted that bi'inan ubir b'steyacher v'leka, that the lekicha alone is not enough? I mean, clearly, you understand that the sugyos, according to the Rambam, have to be differentiated. Let's just look at the Rambam for a moment before we answer for Rashi. The Rambam has two halachos back to back. He has our sugya in halacha dalet, and the sugya on daf kaf aleph and beis kaf gimel in halacha hey. Our sugya, the Rambam has behema hayasa omedes birshus sanizak, v'tol shaperos mirshus sarabim v'achlosan birshus sanizak. This is Rashi zukimta. Hare hadavar safek. It's an abaya on daf kaf amid aleph, and therefore ena meshalemes elamasha nenes v'yim tofa sanizak. That he leaves our Gemara as a suffix. And yet, next halacha, he quotes the Gemara that Tosus brings as a raya against Rashi's interpretation. Kelev shenichdas lechotzer, not al paso basar v'otzien l'shus harabim, o lechotzer acheres v'acholan sham, mishalem ma shenehene, ochon besode shel ba'al hachotzer, mishalem nezik shalem. Why over here does the Rambam say Yim Tafas? In other words, if it was taken, you know, from one rishus and eaten in another rishus, the Rambam doesn't say over here that Yim Tafas emotzi in miyado. So clearly, the Rambam distinguishes between these two sugyos. Lachora, whatever we'll say for Rashi would certainly help us in the Rambam. What, in other words, what explanations does the Magid Mishnah have for the Rambam? Right, the Magid Mishnah was bothered by this. What explanation does the Magid Mishnah have for the Rambam? Let's look at it together. Behema yisa omez b'rishus hanizak v'chulei, that's al chadalik. Kelo shenichnas halacha hei. In other words, the stira of the chora is obvious. We have two situations where we have a lakicha from Rishus A and an achila in Rishus B, and yet the Rambam paskins in one of them remains a suffix. In the other one, barur that you're patur. So the Magid Mishnah says, Das Rabbeinu, Deheicha delekichas adover birshus achas, v'achilasa birshus acheres, holchin acharei harishus sheha achila sham, only calls man shehu lahakel al hamazik. Really we have a suffix, and because we have a suffix, so when the suffix will be as a kula to the mazik, will be poter. V'zoi habava hashnia v'yatzol ame hasugia shal mishnas kevah shenato charara. Then so Rabbeinu, the who baya dalo ifshita. In other words, that the question is over here. In other words, in whose favor would the ptur be? When the ptur is in the favor of the mazik, we'll say it's pater. When the ptur is in the favor of the nizak, we'll say you're chayav. Can anyone explain the Magid Mishnah? I can't. I don't understand it at all. Like what's going on? Like, well, why do we give the mazik a dispensation that we say that if, in other words, if you're taking from one rishus to another rishus, so if the eating is going to be in rishus harabim, in which the mazik is patur, we'll say we go after the eating. But if it's going to be in rishus hanizak, right, then we'll say that. That we have a suffix. We'll maintain a suffix, and that the mazik will get off the hook in either situation. Is that? I mean, like, it's strange, no? In other words, the mazik is not alone over here in the picture. We have a mazik and a nizak. Whatever is a kula for the mazik is a chumer for the nizak.
Sorry, I could say a different answer, but I don't think it fits in the words of the Magid Mishnah at all. Because
the fact that it's a chumrah, I don't get that. Okay, so let's leave the Magid Mishnah aside. But clearly, the Rambam did not view these halachos as being soser one another. He clearly viewed that these sugyas have nothing to do with one another. Like Rashi, that the sugyas have nothing to do with one another. You can't ask a question from the sugya later on our sugya. So how would you distinguish... Aren't both sugyas situations where the lakicha was in Rishus A, and the question is, and what do we do if the achila is in Rishus B? Is in other words, what do we do with Tosus's question? Would it help to visualize? Maybe. In other words, that we have a Gemara on the Chaf Amad Aleph, and we have a Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph, and a Gemara Chaf Amad Beis and a Gemara Daf Chaf Kim Amad Aleph. Here we have that if we have a case of Lakach Birshus Hayachid, and then Achal Birshus Harabim, that this is a suffix. That's the bottom line of this Gemara. And here we have the Kelev, right? Kelev, Lakach, Birshus, Hayochid. And he ate, if he would have eaten, Birshus Harabim, the Halacha would be Potter. Right? This is the way the Rambam passed. This is Niske Mamon, Gimel, Dalad, and this is Niske Mamon, Gimel Hey. And the question is, that these are... I mean, in other words, clearly, the Rabbi points out, the Rambam has the opposite gears of Rashi, but, it doesn't, at this point, L'chora, it doesn't seem to make that much of a difference. So, the case over in L'chora, the case over here is the case of Behema, that this arrow is Behema Gilgala, and this arrow over here is Kelev Halach. Okay, so, what's the difference between Behema Gilgala and Kelev Halach? Let's start with Kelev Halach, okay? The Kelev goes into Rishus HaNizak, picks up a Charara, takes it out of the house, goes around the block three times, then goes into the yard of the Baal HaCharara, and there he eats it. Right? He took it from Rishus HaYachid. went around the block three times, and then he, in order to be chayav, he had to eat it in Rishus HaYachid. Had he eaten it in Rishus HaRabim, it would be patur. Over here, we have an animal that sees an object in Rishus HaRabim. He, with his foot, or his nose, or his trunk, or whatever part of his body he wants to, he rolls it from Rishus to Rishus, and then he eats it. Why over here would we have, would we have a suffix as to whether we go after the lakicha or after the achila? Well, over here, bevadai acharei ha'achila. Right, this is Tosfos' question. Why here should you have a suffix and here you have a vadai?
Because when the dog carries it, it separates it more from the Rishus HaYachid.
In other words, that there's no connection over here between the lakicha and the achila. That they're totally separate entities. There's Masha'in Kain. What do we have in the first case? We have a process. Here we have a process. And here we simply have two acts that are disconnected. So when you have two acts that are disconnected, and we'll ask which act is important, the act of lakicha or the act of achila, the Gemara tells us that what's important is where it's eaten. The lakicha is simply history. There's no connection to one and the other. But when you have a process, what question do we have? This takes us back to the few Zayinim days. Basar meikara, basar tavamana. How do you view a process? From the beginning of a process or at the end of the process? So here, the Gemara has a suffix. Because even in basar meikara and basar tavamana, we have machokus rishonim. How do we? It's not clear. Do you go after the beginning or go after the end? Hakol holach achar hachasima. Or do we say that everything goes after the sof ma'aseh v'machshava tchila? Everything goes after the beginning. When you have a process, so then we have, ein shchita ela basof, yesh shchita mitchila v'atsof. These are speikos throughout Shas. How do we view a process? But over here, there's no process. It's kelav holech. Simply the dog takes something, and that's why it walks around the block. And then the question is, does it return to the scene of the crime and eat it there? Or does it eat it outside? In other words, that's something which is totally, it's arbitrary. And so we'll say that when we have such a situation, then the lakicha is irrelevant. The dog currently is deciding where he's going to eat it. And we have exeris akasav rubir b'steyaker, that we go after the achila. We have a process, that's a different issue. Okay? Yeah?
And then
he'd be chayav. That's exactly, that's the Mishnah. If kelev she natal charara, and then he took it and he ate it in the chatzer of the Baal HaGadish, he ate it back where he had taken it from, that's when you're chayav nezek shalem. Had he eaten it, the Gadish the Alma, had he eaten it in the Rishus HaRabim, the Gemara says, Vada, he's Pater. That we lack the beer b'steyacher. Exactly, that's this case. Okay, so L'chora, we have been Meshachrir, the Rambam and Rashi from the Kasha of Tosfos. Before we see the Pshat of Tosfos, let's... No, I think we could, okay. But Tosfos, however, because of his question, has a different perish. So what does Tosfos say? V'nira l'ri, kagon d'kayime, and also Tosfos says that mitgalgel does not imply gilgel, and whereas gilgel is that it was pushed by the animal, and mitgalgel seems to imply that it is rolling on its own. That you have peros that are very, very, let's say, they're very light in Rishus HaNizak, and a wind comes along, and they're rolling towards Rishus HaRabim. So according to Tosfos, what is the issue? Where is the lekicha?
In Rishus HaYachid.
Where is the achila?
Also Rishus
HaYachid. But had there not been an achila, then they would have ended up in Rishus HaRabim. That they were ambushed on the way. They were rolling, and before they had a chance to complete their roll, the animal ate them in Rishus HaYachid. And so over here, Tosa says that is the suffix. What would you say if I were to wake up in the middle of the night and ask you what should be the din in such a case where something began to roll in Rishus HaYachid, the animal picked it up and ate it in Rishus HaYachid, but had he not, it would have ended up in Rishus HaRabim. What should be the halacha? It should be chayiv. I mean, what's the question? The lekicha is in Rishus HaYachid, and the achila is in Rishus HaYachid. Right? So this is a case which lechora should be chayiv. So what is Tosfos? What's the question? And it's quickly, we're not looking at where the nezek takes place. That's not what we're looking at according to Tosfos. But rather, what is our issue?
Oh, this is like the Ramban, but it wasn't the Ramban.
Maybe. But what's the issue over here? We're looking at the peiros, right? We're not looking at where the mice and nez. We're looking at the Dover HaNizak. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Dover HaNizak, the peiros that are rolling. And what is our question?
Is it a Rishus HaYachid peir?
Exactly. In other words, how are we going to be mishayech these peros? To what are these peros going to belong? Do these peros belong to Rishus HaYachid? Or do they belong to Rishus HaRabim? Why should that be a factor? Look with me for a moment at the Gemara on Daf Nun Chesamid Beis. On the very, very top. Actually, it's those who learned Hakones, it's the first Mishnah. In other words, the Gemara is on Daf Nun Chesamid Beis, but we're dealing with the end of the Mishnah on Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis tells us in the middle of the Mishnah, Nafla Lagina, if an animal accidentally falls, let's say it was walking on an elevated area and it fell off the elevated area into a garden, Nafla Lagina, Vin Nehenes, Mishalemes Masha Nehenes, Yorda Kadarka Vizika Mishalemes Masha Hizika, Ketzad Mishalemes Masha Hizika. If the animal went down on its own to that garden and ate, it has to pay that which was mazik. How? Shaman based sa'a ba'osa sada kama isa yafa v'kama hi yafa. We're not mesha'er the nezek, the number of tomatoes that it actually ate, but we say this area of tomatoes that it ate in the entire field. What percentage of the field is it? And, and how much would you have paid for the field? Namely, that we are viewing the tomatoes not as individual vegetables, but rather we're viewing them as part of a field. And so the Gemara on Daf Nun Chesam Beis, the top line, asks, Ketzad Mishalemes Masha Nehenes Minohan Emilo. Since when do we view tomatoes as part of a field? Amar Rav Masna Damar Kra Ubir Bisidei Acher, that our pasuk that we're using about that of the nezek of shame, Malamed Sheshamin Al Gav Sadeh Acher. Malamed Sheshamin Al Gav Sadeh Acher. That when we're going to estimate damage, we view the damage in terms of the field in which the damage occurred. That we view the vegetables or the fruit as part of a field. Tosfos over here is taking this one step further. The Gemara is talking about that which is attached to the ground, that which is mechubar. The peros ha-mechubar we view as part of a field. Ubir b'stei acher, that the bet doesn't mean it ate in the chotzer hanisak, but rather it, in other words, ubir b'stei acher, it ate this sada hanisak, that we're going to view the damage as occurring to the field. According to Tosfos, what if we're dealing with not vegetables that are growing, but vegetables that have already been cut? In other words, so still we have to relate them to an area. We have to relate them to a field. And so when they are rolling, their question is, do we relate them to the current field, or do we relate them to their ultimate field? And where they currently happen to temporarily be, or where they're going to ultimately end up. Naomi Tosus over here is making three assumptions. Assumption number one, that we have to identify the Davar Hanizak. In other words, it's not just a question of what amount of damage occurred, but rather it has to be identified. And when we're identifying it, we are not only identifying that which is attached, we're also identifying that which is unattached. To what does it belong? To what rishus, is it shayach? To what rishus is it relevant? And then we have the third issue is, when something is moving from place to place, what determines the identity? The current location or the final destination? In other words, then we can understand the suffix. In other words, but l'chora has to be understood in a context that we care about the identity of the object which is being nizok. Okay, so we're not dealing with the mice and nezek. That's what Rashi is talking about. Rashi is dealing with the mice and nezek, which is a process, has a beginning and has an end. And the question is, do we view the mice and nezek at the beginning or at the end? Koin tells us we're not dealing with the mice and nezek. The mice and nezek certainly occurred in Rishus Hayachid. The question is, that which was nizok, is it identified by the Rishus Hayachid or Rishus Harabim? In other words, that there's a concept of an identity of the Davar HaNizuk, not only in terms of that which is growing, that's the Gemara Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, but even in terms of that which is Talush. And then we have a question, in other words, how in terms of the degree of identification. Okay? So we have then Rashi and the Rambam on one hand, and we have Tosfos. And again, the Magid Mishnah, it's up to you. You can try and break your heads and figure it out. I don't know what he's talking about. Within the Ravid, which I focused at it for you, we have two Perushim. Nuscha Dilan, he has the Nusach that was in the Gemaras in Provence, where he lived, and then he has a Nuscha Achrina. He found another manuscript, and then when he saw the Rambam, he said, wow, I like the Rambam. The Rambam had a third manuscript, and that's the one that the Ravid liked, right? That's what the Ravid wrote on the Rambam, that he miyusherit min hagirsaot shalanu. So he, in the Kedushi Ravid, deals with girsaot shalanu. He had two manuscripts, and neither of them were Rashi. And the Rambam's also is not Rashi. The Rambam is the opposite of Rashi. But at least within the Rambam, we understood the issue of basar lekicha or basar achila. Do you go at the basar meikara, basar tarvamana? What's the nusach of the Ravid, the first one? Kagon de ka'achla b'rishus hayachid, v'kamagalgel v'asi l'rishus harabim. Namely, that the animal is beginning to eat in one rishus, and it's completing its eating in another rishus. Perush gon shenichnasa l'rishus hayachid hitchila le'echol sham notla misham v'gamra v'achla b'rishus harabim. And so the question is, basar tchilas achila or basar sof achila? In other words, parallel to Rashi, right? We're dealing with a process, but not that the process begins with lekicha and ends with achila, but we're dealing with the process of achila. We're dealing with that which begins in one rishus and completes another rishus. At the very, very end of that nuscha dilan, right before it says Nun Aleph Nusrachrina, he says Dilma Basar Netila Azlinan Shitchila Sachila. There he brings in Rashi. In other words, as a theoretical option, but that's not his girsa in the Gemara. Now, it's his girsa in the Gemara is that we have a process of eating, and the question is, do we go after the beginning or the end? So conceptually, it's like Rashi, just with a different framework. Okay. Then he has a nuscha achrina, a second perush, kagon dekayama birishus harabin. The animal is standing in rishus harabin. Because shakla mirishus hayachid va'afka labara. And it's standing in rishus harabim, and it puts its head into rishus hayachid, takes food, and then, in other words, raises its head over the rishus harabim and eats the food that it took from rishus hayachid. Okay? What over here is the issue? Or what could be the issue? What could be the suffix? Again, this is not the first perish. There's no process over here. We're dealing with an act.
By sukkahs.
What?
That also reminds me of sukkahs, when someone's eating half in the sukkah, half out of the sukkah.
Okay, so, in other words, but the food is, the davar hanizak is in rishus hayachid. The mazik is in rishus Hi, Rabin. Right? So when we have an act which goes over to Rishuyot, and we have the Masik in Rishus A, and the Dover HaNizak in Rishus B, right? That could be our Safek, or maybe, using more of David's analogy, you know, like we David brought from Sukkah, it could deal with anywhere we have Machitos, even in terms of Shabbos. Let's say you have a person who is standing in Rishus HaRabim and puts his head over the fence to Rishus HaYachid and drinks there. Is there an issue of Hotza'ah? In other words, what's the question? How do we view the Mazik? Do we view the Mazik after his feet or after his mouth? In other words, so over here also you could say, well, you have an animal whose feet are in Rishus HaRabim and its mouth is in Rishus HaYachid, where is this animal? Right? So it could be a question of everyone agrees you go after where the mazik is. But the question is, where's the mazik when the mazik itself stretches over to Rishuyos? In other words, that's his body. Generally, a body goes after the feet, but the Maisa Nezek is not done by the body, it's done by the mouth. And that's in Rishus HaYachid? Or do we say, no, clearly the animal is in Rishus HaRabim. That's where its body is. But the Dover HaNizok is in Rishus HaYachid. In any case, we have over here one, two, three options of how to understand the suffix of Boi Rabbi Zeira. Right? One option of Rashi, the Rambam, and the first Lashon of the Ravid is when we have a process. How do we view the process? Parallel to we have Basar Meikara, our Basar Tavarmana. Then we have Tosfos, who says that we have to define the Davar HaNizak of relating to a certain location. How, you know, what does it relate to its temporary location or to its final destination when it's in motion? And the third issue is that of the Ravid at the end of... in other words, when we have an act, do we go after the place of the mazik or after the place of the davar hanizak, or do we have a question? How do we define the mazik, by its feet or by its mouth? Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of that last chat of the Rebbe that we just saw, so I guess this could depend on how you learned the previous gemara, but doesn't it seem like from Ilfa that Ilfa's chiddush is that al gabi behima is considered kachatzar nizak? But in as much as it seems to be assumed that if the animal is leaning its head into Rishus HaNizak and eating like that, even if the animal is standing in Rishus HaRabim, doesn't seem clear that you'd be chayav in that case?
If the Raiva learned like the Rif, that the case of Ilfa is vikofetzet, mm-hmm. So then that's exactly what the kofetzet, you know, maybe that would be exactly why we bring in the kofetzet, that the kofetzet would take it out of the Rishus HaYachid, right? In other words, that it's moving out of the Rishus HaYachid. And Masha'enken, what if it would be in? Then that's the Abaye, then it fits in very, very nicely if you learn according to the Rish. That the kofetzet goes in the case of Ilfa, not like Rashi and Tosos. So Rashi and Tosos is not a problem. They didn't learn like over here, but according to the Rav, it would fit in very, very nicely. Wow, I didn't think of that. That's correct. Okay, thank you. Beseder? So far, so good? Okay. So then the Gemara goes into the details of, you know, where it's the issue of the Masui, the issue of the Psila Das Pasta. Okay, those are, you know, where it's variations on a theme of how, you know, where it's how to set up the Ukimta. But then the Gemara moves back to the Mishnah of Achla Ksus and asks, Ahaya, that when you go back to the Mishnah of Shein, so we had the case of Achla Peros V'Yerakos, that you pay Nezik Shalem, Achla Ksus O'Kelim, which we defined as Karen, you pay Chatzin Nezik, and then we have a Bamedvar Mamurim. Bamedvar Mamurim B'Rishus HaNizak, B'Rishus HaRabim Patur. Okay, so the Gemara asks Ahaya, this Ptur of Rishus HaRabim, to what does it go? Does it go all the way back to the case of Peros v'Yerakos, or does it continue also on the case of Ksut v'Kelim? So that's a machlokas. Amar Rav, akuhu. My taima, kol hameshane uba acher v'shina bo pater. Shmuel amar lo shanu ela Peros v'Yerakos, avol Ksut v'Kelim chayeves. So Shmuel says, let's take so with Shmuel, that Ksus O'Kelim is nothing to do with Shein V'Regem. Ksus O'Kelim is a world of Karen. A world of Karen, what's Alcha B'Rishus HaRabim? Chayav. No difference between Rishus HaYoch and Rishus HaRabim. So when we have a tour of Rishus HaRabim, it only goes back on Shein V'Regem. Rav is machadish to us that even when we're dealing with Karen, we're going to have a tour in Rishus HaRabim. And so he has to come up with a new rule of Kol HaMashane Uba Acher Veshina bo patur. What over here is the original shinui? What does Rashi say? Kol hameshane kugonze shehiniach suto vekelav birishus harabim uba acher veshina bo kugonze sheachalto patur. And we have over here a new ptur. How would you understand this new ptur? What's the rationale between kol hameshane uba acher v'shina bo patur? In other words, normally someone who when you have a mazik who does an act of shinui, that's a world of chatzi nezek. But if this shinui had been preceded by a shinui on the part of the nizok, then we have a ptur. What was the shin of the part of the nizok in this situation?
Leaving
his ksus v'kelim in rishus harabim, leaving his right, and so the Gemara then continues. V'chein amar rishlakish akuhu v'az du rishlakish l'taima. That my rishlakish stay paros rishus harabim achas revutza v'achas mahaleches boata mahaleches berevutza ptura. Revutza b'mahalechas chayeves. Rav Yochanan amar, lo shanu ela peros v'yirakos, avos sus v'keilim chayeves. Lema Rav Yochanan lesle de rishlakish, afilu b'shtei paros, lo, liolam isle. Ksus avde inshe demanche, glime u mitpeche, avo behem alav urche. In other words, that Rav Yochanan agrees with the principle, the question is the application of the principle. Do we view the hanacha of ksutu kelim rishus harabim as a shinui? Rish Lakish says yes. Rav Yochanan says no. But when we have an obvious shinui, like a behema revutza rishus harabim, then Rav Yochanan would agree with Rish Lakish. Okay, this is sugya A. We have sugya B and we have sugya C. Right? Sugya B is moving over to daf kaf dalet amid beis. There we have a situation of meshasa, of someone who is, how would you translate meshasa in English?
Inciting.
Someone who is inciting a dog to bite someone or to bite something. So we have the case of Shisahu Hu Ba'atzmo. What's the case of Shisahu Hu Ba'atzmo? That party A, Reuven, walks over to Shimon's dog and tries to incite it to bite Levi. And instead of that, what does Shimon's dog do? It bites Reuven, right? Shisahu Ba'atzmo. So now Reuven wants damages from Shimon, that he was bitten by Shimon's dog. Gemara says that he is patur. My taima, kol hamashana uba acher v'shina bo patur. That since he did not behave as a normal person walking in Rishus HaRabim, he did an act that disturbed the dog. So he was mashana, so ba acher v'shina bo, then the owner of the dog is patur. And the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Papa LaRava, Itmar Mishmei Jerish Lakish Kavasach. And that we have a riot to you from Rish Lakish from the world of the Paros. Amar Lei, Ana, Bahahi. In other words, in Rish Lakish's case, Chiyuve Mechayavina. There, I would say really that there would be a Chiyuv on the para that was walking and kicked the para that was lying there. Why? Damrinan Lei, Ki Islaka Rishusa Lesguya Yalai. Now it's had you walked on me, I'm lying on the ground, had you walked on me then and caused me damage, you would have been potter. However, Levi Utebi Lesbe Rishusa, you have no right to kick me. That is Sugya number two. Sugya number three, moving over to Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, we have the world of the Baal HaKora and the Baal HaChavis, and we say that if the Baal HaChavis would stop suddenly and then the Baal HaKora would go bashing into him, then we have a Ptur. So the Gemara asks, Seifa of the Masnisin Messiah Elo Rish Lakish. Haya Bala Chavis Rishon Bala Korah Acharon. Nishbara Chavis Bekora. Chayav. Im Amad Bala Chavis Patur. Vahacha Havi Kimahalechas Birevutza Dame. This is exactly parallel to the world of the Paros, where you have a Revutza, like the equivalent of the sudden stop, and you have the Mahalechas, and we say your Patur. In other words, so the Gemara distinguishes it over here as well. That masnisin ki urche kamaske. In other words, in the Mishnah, the mahaleches is simply walking. Hacha, well, in the case of Rish Lakish, amalei nehi disle rishus lesguye alai, levute di lesbe rishusa. Okay, so we have over here three sugyos. In our sugya, the din of Rish Lakish is accepted by everyone. Even Rav Yochanan accepts the din of Rish Lakish. And the question is whether the explanation of Rav in the Mishnah is accepted that people don't leave Ksus and Kalim in Rish HaRabim. But Rish Lakish is definitely accepted. Then we have the world of Shisahu, where we have Rava being cholik on Rish Lakish. And then we have the world of the Korah, where the Gemara says you can't bring a raya from Rish Lakish to the case of the Korah. So how, you know, if we want to conceptualize what's going on over here in these three Gemaras, what over here could be the core of the Ptur of Kol HaMashan? We have a din. Kol hamashana uba acher v'shina bo pasul. Pater, I'm sorry. That din is quoted in all three Gemaras. What does that mean? What's the source of the Ptur? Let me ask you a question. When we have party A who is Mishana, and then party B is damaging him, right? Albeit via Shinui. Do we have a Maisa Nezek on the part of party B? So let's say in Achina, we have a Maisa Nezek, but, so if you have a Maisa Nezek, that should engender a Chiyuv. What over here do we have?
Unless the Nizak was more Poshaya.
We have a Ptur Tashlumin, and there's a Maisa Nezek, but I'm Potter from paying, because since the victim behaved in an irresponsible manner, he has no tainus on anyone else who behaves irresponsibly. In other words, you can't come with claims against someone who is simply imitating you. Okay? In other words, the person who imitated you damaged you. There's no question that he damaged you, but you can't claim punishment if he basically was simply copying you, namely that you weren't beseder, so he wasn't beseder. That's one way of viewing it. However, how else could you view it?
That you're bringing it upon yourself. You're causing this to happen to yourself.
But even sharper. You're 100% correct, but you could take it even one more step.
In our case, the person isn't responsible to guard against ksus and the damaging of
100%. Namely, that we had a chakira in terms of niske mamon, like what exactly we're talking about the nezik being done by an animal, right? So. One side was that it's like a continuity of your act, but the classic way of understanding is you have a chiyuv shmira on your animal, that you're posheya for allowing your animal. But in a situation of onus, we don't have over here a chisaron of shmira. That in other words, there's no ilah, that there is no cause for payment. We don't have over here a mazik. And so over here, when the Nizuk is behaving improperly, he creates a situation of onus, and there's no machayev. No, it's the first way of understanding is we have a machayev, we have a maisa nezek, but there can't be a claim of tashlumen because you were, in other words, that you can't claim against someone else when you yourself were not beseder. The other side of the coin is saying that perhaps what happened over here was that the Nizuk created an onus, created a situation where there is no chiyuv shmira any longer on the Baal HaKelev, on the Baal HaPara, etc. There's no machayev. So let's... Okay, so in our Gemara, everyone agrees that the world of Para, of the Paros, is a case of Kol HaMashana Uba Acher Vashina Bo Patur. However, we move over to Daf. Okay, both Daf Kaf Dalet Amid Beis and Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. Let's start with Daf Kaf Dalet Amid Beis. Right, we have the individual who is Meshasa the Kelev, and then the Kelev goes ahead and bites him. So we can learn over there that the Ptur is that the Baal HaKelev is no longer chayev bishmira on such a situation, namely that the victim created a situation of onus, and there's no mechayev, When the Gemara says, can we bring a raya from Rish Lakish? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Why not? Because in the case of Rish Lakish, what will we tell the owner of the para? What do you have a chiyuv of shmira on? You have no chiyuv of shmira to see your animal doesn't walk, but you have a chiyuv of shmira to see that your animal doesn't kick, right? So that in other words, so what is Rosh Chodesh himself? What would he answer? What would he respond? That in achinami.
So if the nizak was irresponsible.
In other words, in achinami, my animal did a ma'isa nezek, but there's no chiyuv tashlumin. Namely, that what we can do is say over here that we're dealing with two different pturim of kol hamashana u'ba'achar v'shinabo. The ptur in the case of shisahu ba'atzmo is that the person created a situation of ones in which there's no chiyuv of shmira on the kelev, and that's why there's a ptur. There's no maisa nezek. It's you know, he created a situation of ones. And that would not extend to the world of Rish Lakish. Masha'enken, Rish Lakish is saying, I have a different p'tur. I have a p'tur that when you are Mishana, then you can't, you know, it's in Achinami, my animal kicked, my animal did a mice and nezik, but you can't claim Tashlumen if you yourself also behaved irresponsibly, if you yourself also behaved in a manner which was a shinui. Hu hadin in the world of the Baal HaChavis and Baal HaKora, when the Baal HaChavis stops suddenly, so what did he create? What situation? That the Baal HaKora is onus, right? And again, this will bring us back to Adam HaMazik, right? Is there a ptur of onus? But assuming, like Tosfos, that this is the onus gamor, what was I supposed to do? I couldn't watch myself. There was nothing I could do in this situation. But in the case of the paros, we have over there a bi'ita that the owner should still be responsible for. So no, we extend it to the case of we extend the p'tur tashlum into the case of Rish Lakish as well. But there is also a third way of learning. Right, so far, we have kol hamashana can be a p'tur tashlumin. That could be what's behind Rish Lakish. It could be a din of onus. That could be what's behind the shisahu and the world of the Baal HaChavis and Baal HaKorah. But look over here at Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Shita Mekubetzes. Kol HaMeshana, Hiksha Rabbeinu Ephraim, Mai Itzterich L'Mi'ute U'bir B'stei Acher Liftor Birshu Sarabin. Once we have this new rule called Kol HaMeshana Ba'achar V'Shinabo, why do we need a p'tur of Ubir B'stei Acher to say that Shein V'Regel are Pater B'Rishu Sarabim? Typically, the Kol HaMeshana Ba'achar V'Shinabo Pater. That will say, just like in the world of Ksus V'Kelim, who told you to leave your Ksus V'Kelim in Rishu Sarabim? Who told you know that animals walk in Rishu Sarabim? Who told you to leave your fruits and vegetables in Rishus Harabim? They call him a Shano Ba'achar Shina Pater, Hiniach Perosav, Birishus Harabim. Why don't we view this also as Kol HaMeshana Uba'achar V'Shinabo? So what's his answer? V'yeshlamar delo have a matzi l'me'ute meha, delo have a matzi l'me'mar Shinabo, shahare mu'ad mitchilaso. Okay, what's his explanation? Why do we not apply Kol HaMeshana Uba'achar V'Shinabo to the world of Shein V'Regel in Rishus HaRabim?
Same as Rav Shimon, no? Same as
on whose side?
He's saying for the animals, or for to eat. No?
For the mazik, that there's no Shinabo on the side of the mazik.
Right.
In other words, that according to the first two ways that we learned, you know, where it's whether we learned that it's a p'tur tashlumen, because the first fellow acted strangely, or we learn that it's a din of onus because the first fellow acted strangely, we would have said that even in a case of shinabo patur, but kal vachomer, if the mazik wasn't mishana, he'd also be patur. Because, in other words, the nizak behaved improperly. The nizak created a patur tashlumen. The nizak created a situation of onus. So even when the nizak was mishana, who cares? It's even when the mazik was mishana, who cares? It's the nizak that brought it, as the language, upon himself. Whatever he brought upon himself, He brought himself upon himself a keturah tashlumin. He brought him upon himself a situation of onus. He created it via his shinui. But it's what. But what was done by the mazik? We would say that even if the mazik was mishana, he's pater kavachomer. If the mazik wasn't mishana, certainly he's going to be pater. Comes along Rabbeinu Ephraim and says no. Dafka when the mazik is mishana. In other words, that over here we move over to what Eli wanted to say previously, that the ptur of the shinui of the first party brought about the shinui of the second party. You don't have to say that in the first two ways we learned. But in this way he understood that, in other words, the ptur is that the shinui of the kol ha-mashana brought about the shinui of the mazik, and that's why you can't be mechayev on the shinui of the mazik. But if there's not going to be a shinui of the mazik, then you're going to be chayev. Okay, so Rabbeinu Ephraim is different than the two ways we learned that we were thinking of learning earlier. In the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, also we have that same approach. That it's only in a situation, dafka in a situation where you have a shinui causing a shinui, not when you simply have the original shinui. And then that's how the Gemara wants to distinguish in the world, in other words, between the world of. That in the world of the Chavis and the Baal HaKorah, the reason that there is a Ptur, it's called a Meshana Uba Acher Veshina. Okay, then it could still work out in the same way. You could still, that to say that kol ha-mashana ba'acher v'shina bo would only apply to the case of shisahu and the case of the baal hachavas and baal hakora. There you have shinui A causing shinui B, while in the world of Rish Lakish, shinui A doesn't necessarily cause shinui B. That's the question. In other words, then Rish Lakish would be an issue of extension. Can we extend? In other words, can we say that there is a cause and effect relationship between Shinui A and Shinui B? The fact that animal A is rovetz, does that cause the beita or not? According to Rish Lakish, there's a cause and effect. According to Rav Yochanan, there wouldn't be a cause and effect. Okay, l'chora, that's what we have over here. So we saw two different sugyos, the sugya of Misgalgel, where we had three conceptual perushim, the sugya over here of Kol HaMashana, where l'chora also we have three options of how to learn. Learning that we have a p'tura tashlumin, in Akhenem we have a maisa nezek, but you can't be held responsible if the person was mashana. Or we have over here a creation of a matzav of ones, or we have a shinui A causing shinui B. We have in Eli's language that he brought it upon himself. So, okay, we'll stop over here. We'll move over next time. We have a very short sugya of Demei Sorim Vizol and Demei Amir. I sent you to a ktsos. There's also, I have to find, it's a machlokas, I have to find the other side of the machlokas. I'll check in the footnotes of the Ksos, and then we'll begin the sugya of Zenin and Vizel Ochaser. I'll give you a page. I tried to make that last night, I read it up tonight. Page Mar Makomos for Zenin and Vizel Ochaser. Okay.